Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. It was estimated that over 2 billion people, that is, over one-third of the world's population, tuned in some way to watch the royal wedding this past weekend. A commoner becomes royalty. It's like a Disney fairy tale. And unless you saw the pomp and circumstance and heard the vows spoken, you might have a hard time believing that it really ever happened at all. On Palm Sunday, the Pharisees watched as the crowds gathered to cheer the commoner Jesus into Jerusalem, presumably for him to become king. In frustration and unbelief at what they were seeing, the Pharisees said, "This is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone out after him." The world was watching as Jesus went into Jerusalem and drove out the money changers from the temple. They were waiting for him to take control of the throne. But he wasn't the kind of king that they thought he was going to be. So they quickly joined their lot with the Pharisees, and then they watched as he was judged and sentenced to death, as he carried his own cross out of Jerusalem, as the soldiers drove home the nails, and as he bowed his head and gave up the spirit and died. On Easter morning, no one was watching anymore. Just a few women went to the tomb. They discovered that it was empty. Then the risen Lord appeared to them and instructed them to tell his disciples where he would meet them. Scripture records what the disciples thought when they heard the women. Their words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they believed them not. It was a fairy tale that they just couldn't believe without seeing for themselves. But then later that evening, as they gathered in fear in the upper room where Jesus had celebrated the Passover with them only nights before, the resurrected Lord appeared to them. "Peace be with you," he said. And then when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Though they doubted and were still afraid, Jesus speaks a word of peace, the word of forgiveness to them. "See my hands? See my feet, see my side. I died for your sins. I have risen victorious over death. You are forgiven. Do not be afraid any longer." Then he breathes on them his Holy Spirit. Kind of reminds you of what happened in the garden as God breathes life into Adam for the very first time. But this giving of the Holy Spirit is for a different purpose. "I now send you out as the Father sent me, to forgive the sins of those who are penitent, to withhold forgiveness from unbelievers." This is the giving of the keys, the institution of the office of the ministry. This is exactly what pastors are to be about, speaking peace where there is fear and faith, speaking judgment where there is arrogance and unbelief. Luther says, "It is a great and excellent thing for the mouth of every honest minister and preacher to be Christ's mouth, and his word and forgiveness to be Christ's word and forgiveness. If you sin and confess it, believing on Christ, then your preacher and minister will forgive you the same sin in Christ's place." And then just a little later, he says, "It is a terrible, terrible thing if anyone will not hear God's word. For no doubt this person will at some time have to hear the devil's word. Judas wasn't with the disciples that Easter evening. He had tried to make atonement for his sins with his own blood. But his blood couldn't pay the great price. He would not hear God's word, so he heard the devil's. Thomas wasn't there in the room with them either. And when the others told him about seeing the Lord, he wouldn't hear it at all. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. The Lord accepts Thomas's challenge. Only 8 days later, the next Sunday, as the disciples are gathered together again in fear in the upper room with the doors being locked and Thomas with them, Jesus comes and stands among them and again says to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus is always speaking peace to those who are afraid, to those who believe in him but struggle with doubts. Because Jesus knows that others, like you and me, will also struggle to believe in his resurrection, he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And blind Thomas reads like Braille the markings of the spear and the nail. He hears Jesus' voice and he believes. He sees with the eyes of faith who Jesus really is, my Lord and my God. For Thomas and all of the disciples, seeing is believing. But the problem is, believing is not seeing. The writer to the Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Indeed, quite often, faith is believing exactly opposite of what you see to be true. Sin and sickness and suffering and death, that's what we see. That's what we count as real. But faith says, "I am truly blessed. God has spoken peace to me. I will live forever with Christ." Do you see why this faith is a gift from God alone? It's not something that you can do. And then when your hands and your eyes want to touch and see the proof, repent and confess your sins so that Christ through his servant can speak peace to you again. Blessed is the one who believes and yet has not seen. The story of St. Thomas is not told to confirm us in our holiness and righteousness and sinlessness. It's not told so that we can say, "Look how much better I am than Thomas." In fact, just the opposite. And every story in Scripture is the same way. It is told to convince us of our unbelief and doubt so that we too might find relief in the wounds of Christ just as Thomas did. We can't reach out and touch those wounds. We can't see them before our very eyes as Thomas did. But they still remain for us an everlasting fountain, out of which, as Dr. Luther taught, flow the holy sacraments of the church. We stand under the cross of Jesus Christ to be washed in the water from that sacred side and to drink the blood that flowed from his side. Just as God took Eve from Adam's side to be his bride, so too has God taken the church from Christ's side to be his holy bride. And that kind of brings us full circle, doesn't it? Here we are again talking about brides and grooms and weddings. What you saw and experienced on TV this past weekend isn't anything at all compared to the wedding celebration and feast that is taking place in heaven. It's nothing compared to the heavenly meal that we had last week as we celebrated Easter, that we will partake of again in only a few moments, and that we share in every Lord's Day, as you hear again and again and again the words of peace spoken by Christ in your baptism and distributed at this altar in his body given and his blood shed for you. You are a sinner by nature, but in the risen Christ, your sins are forgiven, and you are a saint, a commoner by birth, who is now a son and daughter of the King. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.